You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
There's this little thing that God has had me do the last several times that I have ministered in different parts of America. And we'll get to what I believe he wants me to do in a minute, but he just told me to do this, so I know what's next. There's a song that goes, "It is well with my soul." Y'all know that? Some of you? No? Sort of the musicians know what I think. It is an absolute declaration of faith, and I'm seeing it literally all over America, where people are having to say, okay, it is well. It is well. It is well. What if it's not? It is well. Well, I don't feel like it's well. It is well. Well, I don't see what I believe. It is well. Well, what I was believing for didn't happen. It is well. When you begin to call those things that be not as though they already were. Now, you got to understand something. I'm not going to talk with you as teenagers tonight. I just don't do that. I've been doing this now for 20 years, 11 months, and 7 days. And I refuse to talk to you as kids because you're not. People ask me a lot, why don't you go speak with adults? Well, I do speak with adults on Sundays, but during the week, I like to hang out with teenagers because you can wear jeans and you don't have to tuck your shirt in. You can just, you know, show up and do your thing, and that's fun. But when you begin to understand that when you say it is well, remember, do you remember in the Bible where there was this lady and her husband who built a room for a prophet that came, Elisha kept coming by? Do you remember that story? And do you remember that Elisha said to her, is there anything that I can do for you that you want God to do for you? And she said, no, we're fine. But somebody in her world told Elisha that she did not have a son. And he said, a year from now, you will have a son. And what did she say? Man of God, do not lie to me. A year later, guess what? She had a son. If you read that in the Bible, it talks about how that son grew a little bit and was out working in the field with his dad, and it was very hot, his head was hurting, and literally he died. He had a heat stroke, right? What did the Shunammite woman say when her husband said, is everything okay? Three words. It is well. When she went after the prophet, and the prophet saw her coming, he said, is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with the child? What did she say? It is well. The kid was dead. The Bible clearly says he died. So how can she say it is well? By faith. She wasn't going to let go of the promise of God, right? So when she got to where God's representative was, she knew that she was getting ready to experience the miracle. Standing here a few minutes ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there are many in this room who need to make a declaration of it is well. And I see it on your faces. You can't hide it. That's the one thing about teenagers you can't do. You can't hide what's really in there. Now, you might be able to fake some people off. You might be able to convince some people that everything really is okay. But for somebody who is anointed to talk with teenagers, like I am, you can read through it. Yeah, I'm ready for that, whenever you are. You can read through it very, very quickly. You can see it on your faces. So what I'm going to ask you to do is simply close your eyes for a minute and say to yourself, loud and clear, it is well. No, it is well. What is well? Every aspect of my life. When everything seems to be falling around, down about you, you don't know what you're going to do, and you're wondering, God, where are you in all of this? What do I need to? It is well. Because what are you doing there? You're saying what God has already said about your life. You go, well, then you don't know what I'm going through. Maybe I don't. But when you see millions of teenagers, I might have an idea of what you're going through. There aren't a whole lot of new problems, new challenges out there. The enemy always masks everything he does. He sets it in a thing of a foundation of fear. And when fear gets in, it gives birth to things that just aren't good in our life. So my question to you tonight is, what do you need to say it is well about? Oh, you should see your faces. You know, in the Bible, John 3:16, the most familiar verse in the Bible, you know what it says? For God so loved the world, what did he gave? Who did he give? His only begotten Son, Jesus. Why? That whosoever would believe, what would happen? You would have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. What is everlasting life? We quote that verse all over the planet. What does everlasting life mean? Y'all are whispering. And when everybody whispers, I don't know what anybody said. Who knows what everlasting life means? Yes. It means you never die. Okay, what? Eternity with Jesus. Yeah. No, but thanks for playing. That's what I love. Yes, yes. Never ending. Yes. Living to the full. Can I have that podium, please? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Thank you so much. Everlasting life. Thanks, bud. Well, let's figure out what that word everlasting means. That's John 3:16. Now, let me show you this. My iPad just didn't do what it needed to do right there. Don't worry. This is the Bible. And this is eternal or everlasting life, that they may know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal, everlasting life, you know what that is? Knowing God. Knowing God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What does that mean? A relationship. That you know somebody. So that you know somebody so well that you can say to him, the creator of the universe, no matter what's going on in your life, you can say to him, with you all things are possible. Why? It is well. It is well. How many of you were there when I ministered at the convention this year? So maybe half of you. Do you remember the two words that I shared the most when I was there? It's on my jacket. You matter. What is you matter about? Why do you matter? Because God cares about you. Where did you come from? Job 33:4, what does it say? The Spirit of God made you and the breath of the Almighty gave you life. Who made you? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God made you and the breath of who? The Almighty gave you what? Life. So if you sit there tonight and you say to me, well, nobody would miss me if I was gone. I was a mistake waiting to happen. That's the most arrogant thing I think anyone could say. Because what you're really saying is God, when he created you, went, oops. Jesus, get over here. You won't believe what I just did. No. When he created you, he went, wow. Look what I have just done. And my job is to get teenagers to understand the wow factor. If my hand is a mirror, do you see what God sees when you look in that mirror? That's why you can say it is well. When peace, like a river, attendeth my soul. What is peace? Oh, God's presence. Look out. That's when you can look up to heaven and go, I don't understand everything that's going on around me, but I know this. I trust you with all that I have, and I'm going to declare with a bold declaration of faith that it is well. Well, does that mean I don't have to study, and if I fail my test, I can go home and say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, all is well? No, don't prove stupid's a real word. If you sow the seed of not paying the price, you'll reap the harvest of paying a price. Right? How many of you tonight can say to me without any hesitation of contradiction, hey, Dino, I know what God's called me to do. You know your calling. How many of you leave your hands up? There's about 8 of you. How many of you can back it up with scripture and verse? Man, that's how we typically lose them. You can tell me what God's called you to do and give me scripture and verse that tells me what that is. Okay. You wrote it down 2 years ago. You don't remember it, though, but you have it written down somewhere. Okay, good. Well, that's important. Unless you might want to know what the calling is, right? What's your name? Zach. I like you, Zach. I love the fact that you actually raised your hand and talked. That's good. I'm called to Ezekiel 3, 10, and 11 with a message of Jeremiah 29, 11 for the purpose of 2 Timothy 4, 5, Job 33, 4, and Proverbs 24, 11. See how the difference is there, Zach? But I mean, I've been doing this a long time too, right? Longer than any of you have been alive, those of you who are actually down here. How old are you? Are you happy? Why? Being here, being surrounded by people, as opposed to not being here and being by yourself. Well, actually, you're never all alone. When I say everlasting life, do you get what that means, really? I mean, do you get that? You understand it's not just, you know, saying, well, yeah, I believe there is a God somewhere, and I think he did something for me. I mean, it's a true relationship where you wake up and go, hey, God, what's happening? And he goes, I am what's happening. Because in the Word of God, it says, I am that I am, right? So what is it about life that gets you moving towards God's plan for your life? What has to happen? I mean, what's the magic age when you go, I mean, 8 or 9 of you raised your hand and went, I know what I'm called to do. But about 2 of you actually could back it up with scripture and verse. I mean, I can show you in the Bible where there was a 7-year-old who was the king of a nation. An 8-year-old, a 15-year-old. So if you're waiting on a magic age, you may already be backing up. You might be losing time right now, right? Why is it important to know that you matter? Why is it important for you to know that you matter? Why is that important to you? It's a little uncomfortable. But then God's Spirit shows up. Right? What are you thinking right now? How can you help somebody else? Laughter doeth good like a medicine. That's what the Bible says. You got to learn to think in chapter and verse. You got to find yourself in the Bible because you're in there somewhere. You got to realize that just because, you know, you're 15, 16, 14, 18, however old you are, that's a time, a measurement of time. It does not mean that you're qualified or disqualified. Unless you know, you can be a brain surgeon, you may not be quite qualified yet for that, but you can at least be qualified to pursue God's plan for your life, right? So, when I say you matter, do you get that? Do you believe it? You do. So, what do you think God wants you to do with your life? Not sure yet. Okay. How about you? Yeah, what? What? Tell me. Fashion designer, you know what? This is a true story. I was speaking somewhere and I asked that question. A young lady said, I want to do hair. I said, really? I said, what would you do with mine? You know what she said? 2 words. Start over. I could not believe she said that. I was like, that look right there. Like, really? That's what you're going to say? Start over? It's amazing what people will say when you give them the chance to speak. I'll tell you a story. It takes about 60 seconds. It just happened to me last week. My son is 15 years old. He plays soccer. Anybody play soccer here? Okay, so he plays soccer. And we have this large privacy fence around our property because I have a German shepherd that would eat you alive if you came on my property. I mean, she's trained to kill. I mean, literally, if I say the right word, she'll just... It's fun. I could tell you another whole story, but I won't get into that. But I have a funny story about my German shepherd, but not tonight. So I told my son, I said, listen, Will, do not kick the soccer ball against this fencing. You've gotten too strong. Okay, Dad. Went in this ear, out that ear. Oh, I'm talking about you all. Don't think, oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, you're 15, right? At 15, something happens. It's like, I know everything. I'm the 4th part of the Trinity. No, you're not. And he would just kick the ball, and he kept kicking the fence. I said, Will, you're going to break the fence. Is that a negative confession? No, I knew it was going to happen. It's pure force against a blunt object eventually will break. And he did. So I wanted to fix the fence, and I'm either on an airplane, on a stage, or in my office typically. I thought, God, this is going to be wonderful. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to build this fence. I called the youth pastor at our church. I said, you want to make some money? He said, yeah, because youth pastors always want to make more money. I said, good, here's the job. He said, okay, I'll be there. So last Thursday, he and I take the fencing down, three sections of fence. And I had not really done manual labor in a while. And all these boards are down. And I'm thinking, we got to get rid of all these boards before Friday morning gets here. So I'm loading this truck by myself. It's now getting dark. And I'm going, God, where can I take these boards and dump them? So I get in this old truck. You know what I mean? I have a little fast sports car, so I'm not used to driving this old truck. So I'm in this little green truck driving by myself, praying in the Holy Ghost, going, Lord, where do you mean dump this? It's cold outside. So I find this place to dump it to come home. Early Friday morning, last Friday morning, I go to a Home Depot or a Lowe's or something, and I buy 52 boards to replace the 52 that we just had taken down. And the guys are loading the truck for me. And I realize that the gate on the back of the truck is down. I'm going, that's not going to work, because what if I hit the brakes? And I got 52 boards flying out the back, and I'm on the inside of the interstate picking up boards, and they're heavy. So I pull the gate up, and they load all these boards. This is going somewhere, by the way. It is well. It's my father-in-law's, just an old work truck. He's a dentist. He just has this truck that he has for just family stuff that we do stuff with. I get the boards home, and I look at the truck, and I went, oh, dear Lord. And the gate on the back of the truck has now completely caved in. Now, I recently had shoulder surgery, so I'm out there pulling these boards off going, oh, that really didn't feel good. And I'm realizing I've got to get the weight off of the truck, the gate. I get all the 52 boards off. I see the gate of the truck, and I go, well, I'm going to have to replace that because I've just destroyed it. Actually, I didn't destroy it. It's those guys back there at that place. They destroyed it. And then I'm taking, the section of boards here. That's where this is going to be. And I'm walking, and I got a board over my shoulder. And I'm not really looking. And I just take a step. And suddenly, I feel this penetrating pain go through my shoe, through a sock, and into my foot. I've now stepped on a nail. It is well. And I go, oh, ah. And I prayed in the spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a true story. So now I'm hobbling back towards our home, the other side of the property. And my wife and I had a moment of intense fellowship. We had a little bit of an argument. And she and I weren't quite yet talking to each other. Those were never fun moments. Well, she walks in, and I went, can you come here a minute? She went, sure. I told her what I just did, and she went, oh, I'm sorry. And I knew what she was thinking. She was thinking, you see, Dean, this is what happens. And so I called, one of my best friends is my doctor. I called him. I went, actually, I sent him a text. Minor construction emergency, call ASAP. He didn't call, so I called him. He went, what happened? And I told him, he said, Jesus is coming soon. If you're out doing manual labor, he's coming soon. Get ready. So now then, I have destroyed my father-in-law's truck. I've stepped on a rusty nail. I've re-injured my shoulder. I now have to go to a doctor. They give me a tetanus shot in the arm that I've had surgery in. And the nurse said, well, if I'd given it to you on that arm, you'd had two sore arms. I said, oh, okay. And I work to the point where literally last Friday, I collapsed in our yard. And my son finally gets home from school and he goes, oh, look, Dad, what all have you done? I said, do you understand? You're the reason I'm doing this. So I put him to work. My point is this. I thought on Thursday it was going to be a great idea to do all this work. And by Friday night, I could barely move. But yet there was something I learned about finishing what God told me to start. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. What he begins, he will finish. He created you and I to be in his image. When God tells you to do something, you need to finish it. He'll give you assignments in your life. He'll give you assignments to go be his witness to people in your world that may never darken the church door yet. And I'm in the middle of that sentence, and the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said, there's a percentage of you right now that are into pornography. I could point you out. Because he's already shown me who you are. I would never do that, by the way. Don't freak out. Don't run out the back door going, oh, no. God doesn't embarrass people like that. But I'm telling you, I know you're here. And that is a spirit that will grab you and literally drag you into an abysmal pit of hell. It's always a counterfeit for what God has for you. That's why when you have sex before marriage, you're giving into a temptation that is so beyond anything I could tell you. Because when you have marital covenant, that's when things change. Well, I'm just a teenager. Why would you? Do you know how many teenagers I talk to who are having sex every single weekend? I mean, do you think I think that none of you actually do that? Do I look stupid to you? No. Right answer. But it is well. Well, what if I'm into pornography? Repent. Stop it. This isn't rocket science. Well, I mean, it is well. What do you mean? Listen, God will always bring someone along who can help you. Always. It might be His Spirit. It might be the Word of God. It might be a friend. It might be a teacher. Hey, try this on. It might actually be a parent. Freak yourselves out for a minute and think, you know, the older you get, the wiser they become. In 36 months, my son's going to think I'm literally the most intelligent person he's ever met. What's the point tonight? The point is very, very simple. No matter what you're going through, God has a way of making it well. No matter what you've experienced that's brought you to this point in your life, God has a way of showing you that you can do whatever's in your heart to do for Him as long as you understand the revelation that is contained in John 3:16 and John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you know God and know His Son. The only way you know Him is to spend time with Him, invest time with Him. Listen, I could be anywhere on the planet. And I could call, there's a restaurant in Chattanooga that my wife and I go to quite often. I could call that restaurant and go, hi, this is Dean Sykes. They go, hey, Dean. They would, it's a Thai restaurant. It's called Sweet Basil. So I call them a lot and go, hey, it's Dean. They go, I can't talk in their dialect, but they know it's me. I go, is Lori there? No. But then I could hear Lori laugh, and I would go, you're wrong. She's there. Go find her. Why? I have spent so much time with Lori that I know her voice, but I also know her, even her laugh. When you spend time with God and you invest that time with Him, you will know His voice in an instant. He could go, and you go, yes, sir. And it's every word counts. We got to get that. Well, I'm just sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of school. You're probably sick and tired quite a bit. I'll never have a boyfriend. You won't. Nobody's ever going to ask me out. They're not. Just keep saying it over and over. You will live the words that you say. How did God create the world? With His words, John 1. Then God said, and everything God said, He then saw. Every time God wanted to see His world change, He just said a sentence. Let there be. And there was. John 1:27-28. Then God said, let us create man in our own image. If God created His world by His words, which He did, and then He created you and I to be just like Him, guess what? Today, your words are creating your world. Job 22:28, you also will declare a thing, and it, what you just declared, will be established for you. That's why the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now, I've read you two scriptures tonight because I wanted you to say I had a Bible. I've probably given you 30 scriptures so far. Why? What's in you is going to come out of you. You got to get serious about this stuff. Listen, in the world in which we're living, I can't tell you how serious it is out there in the real world. I mean, we need what you have. But you've got to take your life seriously. I'm not saying you got to grow up too fast. I'm not even suggesting that. But I am saying you've got to get the revelation that when all hell is breaking loose, it's still okay. It's still, it is well. How can you say that? Because God's word says that. And if His word says that, you can take it to the bank. Now I'm going to ask you some questions. Is it 8:02? Is that what that clock says? Yeah. I'm on Eastern time, so my watch said 9:02, and I went, oh, I've gone a little late. I want you. Did I just say I want you? I want you. I speak for a living. This is funny. I would like for you to close your eyes. How about that? And I want you to think about your life for a minute. I'm going to ask you questions. If you know, you were there at convention, you know this is how God has told me to do it. I ask some questions, people respond. I then do what God tells me to do. And pretty neat things happen. So I'm going to ask you three or four questions tonight. First question is this: do you know where you would go if tonight this was the last night of your life? I recently had to speak at a funeral, and it was of a young person who had been tragically killed in an accident by a drunk driver, and horrific situation. And the parents asked me to speak, and I did. And you know, God blessed that. But I thought, man, it reminded me of the brevity of life. That you know, just like that, things can change. So the first question I'm going to ask you is this: if tonight was the last night of your life, do you know that you know that you know where you would go? Would you go to heaven or hell? It's only two choices. The only way to get to heaven that I know of, and the Bible says, is if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you would be saved when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the first question, you go, well, why would you ask this question here at EMI? I mean, dear Lord, 1440? Well, of course we're all saved. Don't ever assume anything like that. Last year, I think we had just over 9,000 people make decisions when I asked this question in mostly Christian schools. So here's my first question. Are you saved or are you going to hell? If you would say to me, Dean, I know I'm not saved and I want to make the choice of a lifetime. No one's looking around. This is between you and God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand when I get to three. One, don't let pride stop you. See, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds that future. Some of you right now have a pounding in the center of your chest. That's not me. That's God's Spirit saying, please pay attention. If you would say, Dean, I'm not saved and I want to be saved tonight. One, two, three, hands up, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. You mean people raise their hand? Yes. How did you know to ask that question? The Holy Ghost told me to ask that question. Second question. When I said pornography, a percentage of you almost swallowed your tongues. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. But I'm going to ask you to take a real bold step and say, hey, Dean, when you said that, yeah, you're talking about me. I'm dealing with it. Maybe you're not willing to quit yet. That's between you and God. But at least be honest enough to say, I acknowledge the fact that the Spirit of God has me on his mind because he put that on your heart tonight. If you're dealing with pornography on the count of three, don't let pride stop you. Get your hand up. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Multiple hands. You can put them down. See, God already knows. He already knows who you are. Third question. Our You Matter campaign is all about getting young people to understand why your life matters and why suicide is not the answer. Every 40 seconds in the natural, someone takes their life. In those same 40 seconds, 20 others attempt to do so. That's 1 million people a year taking their life, 20 million people a year attempting to take their life. God gave me an assignment. I want this to stop, he said. So he told me what to do. So if suicide is an option in your life, let me tell you how suicide is built. It's built in threes. A person will think about it, they will talk about it, and if they are not stopped, they will attempt it. Suicide actually is built on a spirit of grief that hands off that person to a spirit of death, and the quickest death that there is suicide. If you're dealing with suicide in your mind, you're one-third of the way there. If you're already talking about it, I'm glad I got to come tonight. Here's the question. Do you have the courage to say, hey, Dean, I don't think my life matters. I don't think anyone would miss me. Suicide's a real option. One, two, three, hands up, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. Now look right here at me, please. Ready to solve some issues? This is how I always am led to do it. Just say a very simple prayer from your heart. Through your lips, Father, everybody say it. Father, I obey your word. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that you did raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus, according to the word, you're seated next to my Father, talking to him about me. Come live in my heart. I want to be saved. Right here, right now, I believe and I say that you are Lord of my life. I'm yours. You're mine. Let's hang out together. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who are dealing with pornography. It's just a spirit, just an assignment from the enemy. Those who had the courage to raise their hands tonight, Father, I pray they'll take the next step and go to an adult here tonight and go, hey, I raised my hand. I need some help. Father, I take authority over that spirit according to Matthew 16:19 that says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we just bind that spirit, Father. It is not from you. We know where it comes from, and we send it back there in Jesus' name. Father, for those who are dealing with suicide, I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke, removes every burden, that causes them right this instant to catch a revelation, Father, that their life does matter because you're the one who gave them life. Now, I'm just going to do what God tells me. I always tell audiences all over the place, don't ever live your life by prophecy. Let God confirm whatever I may or may not say with two or three other witnesses. Okay?
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.